Yamunatiravanajari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavihari Gopijanavallabha Girivaradhari Jaya Gopijanavallabha Girivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srimad Bhagavatam ki Jai Gaur Premanand. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Thank you for joining us for Srimad Bhagavatam discussion. Today we'll be reading from the 10th canto, chapter 3, entitled The Birth of Lord Krishna. And we have text number 40 on the board. Gate mai yuvam labdva Varam mat sadrisham sutam Gramyan bhogan abhunjantam Yuvam prapta manorato Gate mai yuvam labdva Varam mat sadrisham sutam Gramyan bhogan abhujatam Yuvam prapta manorato Gate mai yuvam labdva Varam mat sadrisham sutam Gramyan bhogan abhujatam Yuvam prapta manorato Gate mai. After my departure, you've both of you, husband and wife, labdha, after receiving, vadam, the benediction of, having a son, matsadrisham, exactly like me, sutam, a son, gramyan bhogan, engagement in sex, abunjatam, enjoyed, yuvam, both of you, prapta, having been achieved, manorato, the desired result of your aspirations. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, after you received that benediction and I disappeared, you engaged yourselves in sex to have a son like me, and I fulfilled your desire. So this is a direct, he says, that benediction. So what was the benediction? You wanted to have me as your son. That was yesterday's verse. Purport, according to the Sanskrit dictionary Amarakosha, sex life is also called gramya dharma, material desire. But in spiritual life, this gramya dharma, the material desire for sex, is not very much appreciated. If one has a tinge of attachment for the material enjoyments of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, one is not niskinchana. But one really should be niskinchana. Therefore, one should be free from the desire to beget a child like Krishna by sexual enjoyment. This is indirectly hinted at in this verse. Umagyana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha sri chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati swapadantikam panchakalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhyevacha patitanan pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhar shrivasadi gaura bhakta vrinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama 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 hare hare. Translation, repeat, after you received that benediction and I disappeared, you engaged yourselves in sex to have a son like me, and I fulfilled your desire. So we are hearing the very first section of the 10th canto, the appearance of Lord Krishna. And we're hearing about different moods that devotees have. Devaki and Vasudeva are displaying one great wonder. They're astonished. Wow, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's appearing as our son. And why is that? Because they perform such intense austerities for thousands of years. It's like millions of our years, 12,000 celestial years. My dear father and mother, you endured rain, wind, strong sun, scorching heat, and severe cold, suffering all sorts of inconvenience according to different seasons. By practicing pranayama and by eating only air and dry leaves, you cleansed from your minds all dirty things. In this way, desiring a benediction from me, you worship me with peaceful minds. So they engaged in some very severe tapasya, things that are quite... we can't even imagine nowadays, even the thought of it, it doesn't compute. But Prabhupada explains they have a very special position because in every appearance, Krishna mentions the three previous births, they were also the father and mother of the Lord. So a very exalted and special position. And Krishna's saying here, I fulfilled your desire. So this is Krishna's nature, that he fulfills the desire of his devotees. So the particular point that's being mentioned, the purport point, is this niskinchana, that one should really be without material desires. Prabhupada says if one has a tinge of attachment, one is not niskinchana. But this is a very high standard. I'm not very much so qualified to speak on this, but I ask for the blessings of the devotees. We can try to explore this point that Prabhupada is making. The root of the material desires, as we know, is the avidya or ignorance, that the pure living entity in his original constitutional nature, he's in a loving relationship with Krishna. It's the innermost quality of his essence of his being is his relationship with Krishna and devotional service to Krishna. That's his life and soul. But due to material being the tatashta shakti, he's marginal. So he can either go and take shelter of the daivi prakriti or the maya, the yoga maya or mahamaya. So either he takes shelter of the internal potency of Krishna, or he becomes attracted to the external feature. Therefore, every living entity in this material world is considered to be fallible. In the 15th chapter, Krishna explains this difference, the fallible and the infallible. So everyone in this material world has somehow or other become very, very unfortunate. They've lost their greatest sacred essence of their identity and identified with different material bodies, different material circumstances, practically since time immemorial, as long as we can remember. So these impressions are very ingrained in our consciousness. So sometimes there's a nice verse in the second canto. I can't recall the translation. Maybe Pranahari has it. But it said that men who are like hogs, dogs, camels, and asses, they praise those men who never hear about or glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this material world, everyone is glorifying someone. It's the nature to want to glorify, actually. But who is to be glorified, and who is being glorified? So when the avidya, the ignorance, is there, then people glorify so many people who are not actually spiritually qualified to receive that glorification. Everyone is trying to put themselves forward to receive some fame, adoration, or distinction. And many people are investing that tendency or that propensity into so many things that are actually not worthy of that. Anything, practically speaking, going on in the material world is an exhibition of the soul's envy of God. We're so conditioned that we think, yes, these things are normal. This is just what life is like. But great, you know, so-called superstars, musicians, actors, they are displaying their envy, their ignorance, or their aversion. To become very famous in the material world is not a very glorious thing. The material world is itself the place for fallen living entities who've rejected Krishna. So it's not such a worshipable place to become a big famous person in this material world. It's actually a very sad situation. So without transcendental knowledge, these things, they take the place of where that propensity for worship should go. The glorification should be there for Krishna. Instead, we go to music festivals. So many artists are there, and people are overwhelmed. They're in ecstasy seeing their favorite, you know, so-called superstars or musical acts or anything. So Prabhupada says this material world is itself inauspicious. There's good and bad in the material world, but actually the material world itself is bad. In of itself, it's an inauspicious situation. So this is the beginning that we have to reorient our conception, because we also become, if we don't keep a clear conception, we also become attracted. We think, yes, this is a good thing. This is a good cause. These people are great. But this higher vision, Prabhupada would say, anyone in the material world, they're kind of like a rascal, because we've forgotten Krishna. So how great can one actually be? So that is, it may sound a little pessimistic, but from the spiritual point of view, it's simply an attempt to redirect our affinity, our attraction, that love, to redirect it from material things back to spiritual things. And that's what Prabhupada is encouraging. Prabhupada established this movement to do that, simply to redirect our loving propensity from service to the material to the spiritual. And Kapila Dev says that Mahat Sevam Dvara Mahur Vimuktes Tamo Dvaram Yoshi Tasangi Sangam. That attachment to the liberated sages, that is the way of opening the doors of liberation, of the cessation of this material cycle, which is suffering, more or less, in some degree or another. People tend to think it's enjoyment, but from someone who has knowledge, they can see, actually, that's just suffering. What is a temporary relief of worse suffering people call happiness? Because they haven't tasted the standard, the real happiness. So, whereas attraction to, one could say, the opposite sex, women, or those attached to that type of consciousness, that is the way that takes one downward. So, this is the position that we find ourselves in the material world, and therefore these material desires, they stem from, the desire is natural. The desire cannot be taken away from us. That is artificial. That is the Mayavad or Shunyavad conception. Just get rid of your desire, but that's impossible. So the material desire is born out of this false identification, the false ego, ahankar. So it's a very empowered shakti of the Lord, the Maya Shakti, Vishnu Maya. It's particularly empowered by Krishna to bring one into delusion or to make them forget their true identity. And it's described as the bodily concept of life. I was telling Pranahari, as soon as we open our eyes, more or less, the soul is put into bewilderment. He begins to identify with his body, and he sees others as their body. So that potential for looking inward, establishing his relationship inward, it cannot manifest, because all of his attention is being diverted to an external mayic realm. It's not reality. What happens is, from the pradhan, it manifests into the mahatattva, the variegated material elements. And the first element to come from that is the ahankar. The ahankar further manifests by interaction with the modes of nature as the senses, the body, the sense objects, and the mahabhuta, the various cosmic elements. So all we're seeing actually is the manifestation of a false ego in the material world. It's a bewildering conception which induces one to act in an insane way. Sanity means someone who can act properly. They see things as they are. Insanity means they do something completely illogical. So when we begin to identify with matter, then we do insane things for the soul. Soul's only business is to serve and love Krishna. But we create so many varieties of engagements and services that are not actually essential for us. The only service required for the soul is to serve Krishna. So this is kind of the predicament that comes, how the material desires develop. And that is a gradual process of purification. We heard a nice, very nice points yesterday, how material desires obstruct the natural flow of our devotion to Krishna. And that can become problematic. So there is the remedy for that, we know, is that this body is like a ship, and the ship has the captain, the spiritual master. So by following the guidance of the spiritual master, one can ply through this ocean of repeated birth and death. And the favorable breeze is compared as the hymns of the Vedas, taking guidance from Shastra. So there's some very powerful statements that Srila Prabhupada has made, how this principle operates and how this is actually the key for coming out of this cycle, this ocean of birth and death. I'll read a few. Srila Prabhupada states in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and these are the instructions about the duty of the disciple. A devoted disciple, this says that a disciple should be prepared to lay down his life to execute the will of the spiritual master. A devoted disciple of the spiritual master would rather die with the spiritual master than fail to execute the spiritual master's mission. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes upon the earth to reestablish the principles of religion, so his representative, the spiritual master, also comes to reestablish religious principles. It is the duty of the disciples to take charge of the mission of the spiritual master and execute it properly. Otherwise, the disciple should decide to die along with the spiritual master. In other words, to execute the will of the spiritual master, the disciple should be prepared to lay down his life and abandon all personal considerations. So the Guru Tattva is the Kripa Murti, the manifestation of the Lord's mercy. It's the form of Krishna's mercy. The Guru acts to enable the conditioned soul to come back by serving as a medium that no one can serve. We cannot approach Krishna directly. We approach Krishna through his devotees. So the Guru allows one to get the mercy of Bhagavan, Yasya Prasad Bhagavat Prasado. By satisfying the Guru, Krishna is pleased. If we don't satisfy Guru, there's no chance of pleasing Krishna. So that is like those favorable winds. They propel us forward through the Guru's guidance. It says, one who executes the order of the spiritual master, however painstaking, achieves the Lord's mercy. In executing penance, one must be determined to return home back to Godhead, and must decide to undergo all types of tribulations for that end. Even for material prosperity, name, and fame, one has to undergo severe types of penances. Otherwise, no one can become an important figure in this material world. Why then are there severe types of penance for the perfection of devotional service? An easygoing life and attainment of perfection and transcendental realization cannot go together. The Lord is more clever than any living entity. Therefore, he wants to see how painstaking the devotee is in devotional service. The order is received from the Lord, either directly or through the bona fide spiritual master. And to execute that order, however painstaking, is the severe type of penance. One who follows this principle rigidly is sure to achieve success in attaining the Lord's mercy. These are beautiful, very powerful statements that are very helpful to reflect again and again in our spiritual life. Sometimes material desires can induce us that we think, I don't need to serve my guru. I can find it out myself. But often it's just like if you're in a car and you're going 60 miles an hour and you see a car or you see a tree, it doesn't look like it's going, if you see another car, it doesn't look like it's going very fast. It looks like, you know, when you're flying down the highway, you know, you just get used to it. But The moment you stop or you slam on the brakes, you understand how fast you are going. So Guru's mercy is very powerful, but sometimes we don't realize how much that's carrying us until we try to do something else. If we come out of that position, suddenly we realize, oh my God, like, what's going on? So that you can't realize until you step out of that. So that's a reminder then that, wow, how much mercy is coming in our life just by following Guru's instructions. That mercy is actually propelling us beyond all of our material desires to chant 16 rounds, follow the four regular principles in Kali Yuga. This is like a monumental accomplishment. Hardly anyone is doing that. We'll just speak of then serving Krishna all day. So that is certainly possible by the mercy of the spiritual master. I'll read one more. A devotee of the Lord cannot give up the service of the Lord, for he is ordered by his spiritual master. Pure devotees like Narada and Nityananda Prabhu take up the order of the spiritual master as the sustenance of life. They do not mind what becomes of the future of their lives. They take the matter very seriously, as the order comes from the higher authority, from the representative of the Lord, or from the Lord himself. And then Prabhupada has a question with the Indian gentleman. Prabhupada, if you please God's representative, then automatically God's become pleased, and thus you can directly see him. Question: how to please God's representative? You have to carry out his orders, that's all. God's representative is the Guru. He asks you to do this, to do that. If you do that, that is pleasing. So it's very simple. Sometimes we make it very complicated. And if there is question or concern, it's important to have that discussion with the spiritual master, to bring it up. It's not just a one-way. It's very important that we may have questions and concerns. How do I apply this? Or to open our heart. There's nothing that can compare with a heart-to-heart discussion with the spiritual master, to reveal one's mind. Nothing can compare to the benefit of that mutual, coming to a mutual understanding. And that is very important. Otherwise, we can be in our own misconceptions or false conceptions of what the Guru wants from us. And so it's important to clarify. And he also wants to, he wants to also hear from us. So that these are some relevant principles, I thought, in terms of aspiring for what Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in this purport. And generally in our ISKCON movement, the also instruction of the Guru is quite, it's an open secret, as they say. An open secret, what the Guru's desire is. I'll read one reference here from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Spreading Krishna consciousness is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Therefore, his sincere devotees must carry out his desire. The devotees of Lord Chaitanya must preach Krishna consciousness in every village and town in the world. That will satisfy the Lord. It is not that one should act whimsically for his own personal satisfaction. This order comes down through the parampara system, and the spiritual master presents these orders to the disciple so that he can spread the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is the duty of every disciple to carry out the order of the bona fide spiritual master and spread Lord Chaitanya's message all over the world. So ours is a very blissful process. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're the most glory Nitai, munificent incarnations, Kevala Ananda Kanda. They come simply chanting and dancing, spreading Sankirtan. And therefore we have the great fortune that we inherit that order. And therefore we see that preaching is the essence. Preaching is the principle of satisfying them and the Guru. And that is where we find great potency coming, by taking up their mission. This incredible mercy of Gaur Nitai, it very much envelops us, sustains us, and carries one. So this is our lineage. This is our family business. This is our tradition. Lord Chaitanya's orders to preach. Instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Sri Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land. Prabhupada says, In this age of Kali, people cannot follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore the Lord himself takes the part of Sri Krishna Chaitanya to teach personally how to become Krishna conscious. He asks everyone to follow him and become a guru to deliver the fallen souls of Kali Yuga. Yare deha tare kaha Krishna upadesh, amar agyai guru hai tan adesh. Instruct everyone to follow the Lord Sri Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land. So, we all are at different levels and different capacities, but even to invite another conditioned soul to come back to Krishna is one type acting as one type of guru. It's certainly not a Diksha guru or even really a Siksha guru. But simply to tell one person about Krishna or Bhagavad Gita, that is serving this principle of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so this is the formula that the Lord gives for cleansing out material desires, coming to this stage of Niskinchana at some point in our devotional life, aspiring for that. Another helpful point is to remember, as Subhabha was mentioning, that sometimes we, because we are in this kind of insane condition in the material world, then it's a complete shift, 100 degrees, 180 degrees, from the proper conception where Krishna is at the center, and then I become at the center. So we develop a very self-centered outlook of reality. I'm now in the center, so my happiness is first and foremost. And even in the devotional realm, devotional service is good because it makes me feel good. So this again, it requires further refinement to come to the position where one actually forgets about themselves. The key is to forget about ourselves. When one becomes so, they naturally become attracted to serving Krishna, Krishna's beauty, his activities, his associates. I don't have time to worry about even my own happiness because I'm focused on... So this is the standard that we see in Vrindavan, where so many extraordinary, beautiful pastimes can take place because people don't have this ego-centered consciousness. What about me? No, it's not about... What about Krishna? It's all about Krishna. So these were a few thoughts related to this topic at hand. And there will certainly be challenges and tests in our devotional life. That is expected. Prabhupada says it's not expected that perfection will come easily. But if there are, that's actually a deeper impetus for taking shelter. If those things are, we should be calling out like anything. When we're chanting, praying before the deities like anything. They're there, they're hearing, they're listening to us. So we should take advantage and open our heart. Intensely pray. Like I was speaking with one friend who was wondering, how am I going to make it to the temple? I'm so entangled in all these things. I said, just sincerely pray to Krishna that he allows you to surrender unto him. Krishna's not going to reject that prayer. If someone sincerely prays, my Lord, I very deeply, sincerely want to surrender to you and serve you. Please help me. Please help make the arrangements so I can do that. Do you think Krishna is not going to listen? Yes, Radharani and Krishna, Gaurini Thai will certainly listen. So, thank you very much for your attention. I'll see if there's any questions or comments or discussion. I generally like to speak big things, but I'm not so there myself. So, thank you for your tolerance.
Thank you, Prabhu. I was just appreciating the fact that Krishna, you can still receive Krishna's mercy, you know, and his personal darshan and his blessings directly, even if you still have some, you know, tinge or some material motivation. It appears that this has been sort of discussed in the purport, and Krishna is sort of pointed it out, too, highlighted it, you know, that there was this desire. I mean, the end of the purport, Prabhupada says that one should not desire to have sex lives, even if it's to have a child like Krishna. Mm-hmm. Something like that. Can you read that again?
According to the Amara Kosh, sex life is also called Gramya Dharma, material desire.
No, it's at the end. At the end.
Of the purport?
Okay. At the end
it's
of the purport.
It's very short, maybe just to give. But in spiritual life, this Gramya Dharma, the material desire for sex, is not very much appreciated. If one has a tinge of attachment for the material enjoyments of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, one is not Niskinchana, but one really should be Niskinchana. Therefore, one should be free from the desire to beget a child like Krishna by sexual enjoyment. This is indirectly hinted at in this verse.
Yeah. But even then, you know, so it's hinted that both Sutapa and Prishni has this desire, but still receive the mercy of Krishna. And the same with Dhruva Maharaj, you know, even though you have that material desire, you still, Krishna becomes, you know, visible and give blessings and purify. So it's possible. And I just remember one time during one of the yatras with my spiritual master in South India, he was discussing about Dhruva Maharaj, the difference between Dhruva Maharaj and what's the name of the father of Sati?
Daksha.
Between Daksha, the difference between Daksha and Dhruva Maharaj. Daksha and Dhruva Maharaj both have the darshan of Lord Vishnu. They appear. Actually, for Daksha, Lord Vishnu even sort of like congratulating or something like that, or shake hands or something like that. He appears in front of him. But the difference with Daksha is that he took birth again as Daksha Part 2. Srinivas Goswami said Daksha Part 2. And then he committed an offense again, not this time to Lord Shiva, but to Narada Muni. So there was the question of how, what was the difference? You still receive the darshan of the Lord, receive the blessings of the Lord, but you can fall down, you know, again to your material condition. And then Dhruva, he didn't. And then he mentioned that the difference was the connection with the spiritual master, and you highlighted that in your class, which I appreciated. The connection with the spiritual master, in the case of Dhruva, he was grateful. Prabhupada Swami was highlighting gratitude as a key to receive fully the blessings of the Lord, to become free from material condition. So Dhruva was very grateful to Narada Muni. But in the case of Daksha, he didn't have gratitude, he still had envy. So therefore, even though he saw the Lord face to face, he can even become purified. So, which is quite remarkable. Anyway, I wanted to pass that comment.
Yeah, thank you. It may be possible that Krishna reveal himself while there is material desire, but that doesn't mean that one has reached their perfection. Krishna can reveal himself to anyone at any time. But ultimately, if there is material desire, then one cannot be at the perfectional stage. Perfectional stage is this Niskinchana, that even if there's a tinge, one could get darshan, but even still, that's not complete purification. In the case of Dhruva Maharaj, he got the darshan, but he said, unfortunately, you'll not be able to see me again because you're not yet complete in devotional service. So we see also Daksha got darshan, but he wasn't fully purified. So at that stage, they're still progressing. Even Vasudeva and Devaki here, Krishna says, both of you, husband and wife, constantly think of me as your son, but always know that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By thus thinking of me constantly with love and affection, you will achieve the highest perfection, returning home back to Godhead. So Prabhupada even indicates that for us, the aspiration of Krishna Prema in Goloka Vrindavan, that means the evolving to the point where there are no material desires. But thank you very much for these important points about those distinctions. Okay, Pranaharis.
You mentioned Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order about become a guru and save this land. So my question is, there's a few questions. How does that order relate to the disciplic succession? And that's one question. Second question is, who is qualified?
How does that relate? Are they together? Should we put them together, or do you want me to take that one? How does it relate to the disciplic succession? Disciplic succession is comprised of those who have realized that instruction. They've manifested that instruction. But what's yours? Maybe they're related. If your second question you want to ask.
And who is or how does one qualify to execute this order?
As we mentioned, there's different types of gurus. So Prabhupada mentions Siksha Guru, Diksha Guru, and then there's anyone who gives instruction according to the revealed scripture, according to the verdict of the real scriptures, considered a guru. The Vaishnavas are also gurus. So to perform an advanced function like Diksha Guru, there's high qualification. But what I'm speaking more about, perhaps relevant for us, that this instruction can apply anyone, he says, teach according to Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Instruct everyone to follow the instructions of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a guru. So at the various levels, even from our stage, it's acting as a type of guru. Now, we don't say, I'm a guru. We wouldn't do that. Most of us are not going to accept disciples at this point. But the point is that serving that instruction is the preaching mission. That's where mercy comes. So, qualifications, you know, Siksha Guru, Diksha Guru, one can go through and see what Prabhupada has written. But I'm just indicating more that one who follows this principle, serving that instruction. Is that okay for now? We can talk more if you want. Okay.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for your class. You were making a distinction between people who are sane and insane. I have a comment and a question regarding a point you made also about somebody may say, how am I going to make it to the temple? I'm so entangled. I appreciate that point of prayer. But my first question is this insane, like Hiranyakashipu, he was determined to kill Prahlad. He tried to kill him once, didn't work. Twice, didn't work. Three times, didn't work. So many, like 20 times later, and he was still continuing. And so he thought he was the supreme controller because he thought he had control over who lives and who dies. So in our life, we see that sometimes we also think we're the supreme controller because we may not try to kill others, but we have the tendency to try to kill others' reputation. But there's a nice verse in the Gita that I came across in chapter 10, verse 45. I was reading the other day. Krishna says, I am the creator of fame and infamy. We're not the creators of fame and infamy, so it doesn't matter, you know, we have no control over whose reputation lives and whose reputation dies. Srimvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravanam Kirsana Hridiyantistohi Abdrani Vidinoti Suhit Satam. This verse from Canto 1, Chapter 2, Verse 17 says, by coming to the Bhagavatam, one is free from the modes of passion and ignorance, where one thinks they're the supreme controller. And then you could come to the mode of goodness where you realize that Krishna is the supreme controller. So my question is, to related to your point, is that you say sometimes people may say, I have no time to come make it to the temple because I'm so entangled. And I really appreciate the point where you say we should just pray. Because one point you might like, this is a funny point that I was meditating on yesterday or 2 days ago. If Krishna, sometimes people say, I can't fit the Bhagavatam into my schedule. I can't fit hearing lectures into my schedule. I can't fit reading the books into my schedule. But if Krishna can, in a Mother Jasoda pastime, if he can fit the entire cosmic manifestation into his mouth, then it's certain with Krishna's ability to fit the Bhagavatam into our schedule, to fit lectures into our schedule, to fit reading the books into our schedule. The question is that you were mentioning, do we want Krishna to fit into our schedule? Are we praying for Krishna? So what are some steps we can move forward to create this desire for Krishna to fit into our schedule? Because the tendency is that when we think of Krishna, nothing's aroused. When we think of lust, everything's aroused. We develop faith and sense gratification.
The main thing is to hear from the most advanced devotees. They impress upon us that Krishna consciousness is an urgent need. It's a dire need. Otherwise, we don't get the conception that actually this is very important and urgent. Otherwise, we have a very lackadaisical. So we have to hear from such devotees who can impress upon us. They have that vision. They have that understanding. So that's the key. And that will propel us that, yes, I should also. Okay, thanks.
Wondering about this point of serving the spiritual master, and my observation is that, like, also to serve the spiritual master, the inspiration has to come from within. Like, especially if you really want to do something with complete focus and dedication for the rest of your life, it has to be something that very much resonates with you. Like, I was thinking, like, the pastime Shyama Sundar, he's like, you know, Prabhupada didn't tell him, like, go meet the Beatles. You know, he was in jail meditating, like, I'm going to introduce the Beatles to Krishna consciousness. And like, he's like, one would say, like, you're crazy, you know, you're just like gonna fall down trying to complete this mission or something like that. But it was his inspiration that and to do that, and he did that, and it's a service to the spiritual master. So I'm wondering your thoughts about that, how that plays into a personal inspiration in serving the spiritual master.
Yeah, I was trying to mention that it's important to have that discussion, because the guru is testing the disciple. The disciple is also trying to understand what the guru wants. So it's very encouraged that it's mentioned that by asking questions to the guru, that one can become free from offenses. So one should take the opportunity and present where their faith is, where their inspiration is, and kind of, you know, hash out a common understanding. What is the guru's vision? What is his expectation? And what is my aspiration? What really encourages me? If there's some discussion and the proper mood and etiquette is observed, then Krishna will protect and facilitate that. Krishna, the spiritual master, very accommodating. It's not like this or that, but there has to be the protocol to have that discussion so that a common understanding, then the guru knows, okay, my disciple is inclined more in this way. you know, he also wants to hear from us. It said the Guru, he's not omniscient in the sense that he knows every single thing that goes in our mind at every moment. He knows what Krishna wants him to know. So therefore, even in Prabhupada's time, devotees would come and express, Prabhupada, we're thinking of doing like this and that. Is this okay? So therefore, to get the guidance of the blessings, we have to get the blessings of the Guru. Our spiritual life rests on getting his blessings. So there can be a very open discussion, and it can go in different directions. But that will help facilitate us to serve in our particular aspired way, and also him to understand and then give blessings, you know. So that's an important step that we have available to us, that to be able to speak even with the spiritual master is not so easy. So the Guru or his those whom he, if one can't speak directly with the Guru, then one's mentor like that. But if one can approach the Guru directly, that's a great asset. Is that okay? Okay, I think we'll stop there. Thank you all very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Kantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.